Once again, we like to turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. Book of Joshua, chapter 6. We'll read the first 16 verses, Joshua, chapter 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew at the trumpets. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest and blew at the trumpets. And the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew at the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once, and returned in the camp. So did they 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And then in verse 20, So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Again, as we said this morning, we see that Israel was in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. God miraculously delivered them in the crossing of the Red Sea, which again is a picture, type of salvation. They had been promised the land of Canaan, but because of unbelief, according to the book of Hebrews, they wandered basically in circles for 40 years, aimlessly. We come to Joshua. We see in chapter 3 that they cross the Jordan River. We see that chapter 4 and 5, they're in Gilgal, which is on the southern border of Jericho, about a mile and a quarter out. And we come to our text, and again we read those two words, Now Jericho. Again, Jericho was a very powerful fortress, a symbol of the enemy's strength and power. symbol of that which was standing in the way, barring Israel's entrance into Canaan. Again, throughout the Old Testament, Canaan is not a representation of heaven. We see there were many battles to be fought in Canaan. But Canaan is a picture of a life lived, the life that you and I can live, the life that every child of God can live. It's a life in enjoying the blessings of God. It's a life enjoying the Lord Himself. It is a life enjoying the inheritance that we have in the Lord. It is a life enjoying the peace of God in the heart. It's a life enjoying the provision of the Lord. It's a picture of a very abundant life, a thriving spiritual life. It is a picture of simply enjoying the grace of God. But before Israel can live that life, before Israel can advance further into Canaan, Jericho must be conquered. In Joshua chapter 6, records how that the Israelites were able to overcome and conquer the city of Jericho. And Joshua chapter 6, without question, is one of the most exciting records in the Bible that records the mighty power of God displayed in response to the obedience and faith of His people. Again, God had made a promise to Joshua. God had made a promise on several occasions to the people concerning the possession of the land. But He never promised that they would possess the land without any challenges. He never promised that they would possess the land without any battles. And now we find them facing this massive fortress, something that needed to be broken, something that needed to be removed if they were to advance further. And that, of course, is a picture of you and I. There are Jerichos everywhere. And if we're going to advance further spiritually, Jerichos have to come down. We're going to consider tonight the subject of the message is God's instruction for victory. We want to notice seven things concerning God's instruction. There's more than that, but we just want to notice seven. And it's a reminder that Jericho's come down God's way. They don't come down my way. They don't come down your way. They come down God's way. They don't come down you and I trying to figure it out. They come down by following the instruction of God. And again, we want to notice seven areas of instruction that led to the walls of Jericho coming down. First of all, there was the instruction to have faith. Again, in Joshua 6, we see Joshua is before this massive fortress. Perhaps the thought entered his mind. I don't know if it did or not, but perhaps before the Lord spoke to him in verse 2, the thought entered his mind, I'm a master general. I fought under Moses. When Moses was on top of the hill, and Aaron and Hur held up his hands, I was down on the ground in combat. I have experience. And if we're going to conquer Jericho, we're going to need some battering rams. We're going to have to figure out a way to scale those walls. We don't know what was going through Joshua's mind, but verse 2 is foundational to everything that happens in chapter 6. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. God is reminding Joshua of the promise of victory. But that's not all he's doing. He's doing much more than that. Again, as we saw this morning, see, I have. See, I have. His attention is drawn to God. And if Jericho is going to be overcome, if our Jerichos are going to be overcome, you'd better get your attention upon God. Jericho's not going to fall if your attention's on everything but the Lord. So God directs his attention to himself. With those words, verse 2, he is calling upon Joshua to believe simply because of what God said. Joshua, you need to believe based upon what I have said. He is calling Joshua to view Jericho through the lens of who God is, through the lens of what God is. He is telling Joshua to view Jericho through the eyes of God's faithfulness. See, I have given into thine hand. He's saying, view these walls, view this fortress through the faithfulness of God, through the ability of God. What he's saying there in verse 2 is, Joshua, you're going to need to depend upon me. You're going to need to rely upon me. You're going to need to lean upon me. You're going to need to rest upon me. You need to look to me, Joshua. And Joshua, you need to cleave to me. It's a call to faith. And just as Israel, due to their unbelief, were rendered crippled. And you look at Israel in the wilderness, and there is a crippled people. And it was due to unbelief. And just as Israel was crippled with unbelief, and just as Israel lived lives of despair and defeat, so it is today with God's people. And the reason that many Jerichos are never penetrated by God's people is a lack of faith. So God begins with a call to Joshua to believe. To believe. You see, our main problem today in so-called Christianity is really a mindset problem. Those words, see, I have. See, I have. There's instruction there. Joshua, you go forth knowing who I am. That's how we're to live our lives. We're to go forth knowing who God is. We have a mindset problem. God's people don't know who God is. We need to view what is before us with the mindset of who God is, not what Jericho was. And that's what God is telling Joshua. Joshua, you see those walls? You view them through the lens of who I am, not through the lens of what you see. So God begins with, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. This is foundational to following the instruction of God. You know why people, God's people, do not follow the instruction of God? You say, well, it's just rebellion. That's true. But why do they rebel? Well, it's their nature. Well, that's true too. But we see the reason is a failure to believe God. When people day after day, and if they're saved, and they refuse to follow the instruction of God, refuse to do it God's way, it's because they believe their way is better. There's no getting around it. They do not believe God enough to follow His instruction. So God starts with faith. Keep in mind Hebrews 11, I believe it's verse 30. The walls of Jericho fell by faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. So there's instruction to believe. Secondly, there was instruction concerning complete involvement. Notice verse 3. And you shall compass the city. That is, you shall surround the city. All ye men of war. Now, first of all, to surround the city would require great courage. Where are they going to get that courage? Verse 2. Courage comes from faith. Courage comes from viewing things through the lens of God. That's where courage comes from. It would take courage to march around that city. But notice verse 3 again, all ye men of war. And then notice in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 6, we see all the people, all ye men of war, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And we also read there at the last part of verse 5, every man. All ye men of war, all the people, every man. Every man. This speaks of complete involvement. Complete involvement. For you and I individually, the lesson is there is not to be anything held back. You put your faith in God and nothing is to be held back. We must be all in, completely committed to God, holding nothing back. Jericho will not fall if we're holding back from God. So he's given instruction concerning complete involvement. What is it that gets us to be completely committed? Again, verse 2. See, I have. It's faith. Why is it that people refuse to fully commit their lives to God? Because they don't believe. Oh, I believe with all my heart. Well, then you'll commit. Then you will commit to God. Again, it's a mindset problem. It's a faith problem. We must each ask ourselves, when it comes to the service of God, when it comes to following God, how much of me is in? Am I all in?
Am I completely dedicated? Jerichos do not fall by being partially involved. Jerichos fall by being committed to the Lord. So God gives instruction to Joshua. There must be complete involvement. Thirdly, and this is important, not that the others aren't, there was instruction concerning a continuance. Notice in verse 3 again. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go about the city once. Oh, most people would love it if that's where it stopped, but it doesn't. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And then notice in verse 11 through verse 13. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram and horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew at the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And then notice verse 14. And the second day they compassed the city once. And this continued for 6 days. And then notice verse 15. And it came to pass on the 7th day. There was a sustained obedience to God's instruction. Many today, when they're faced with Jericho, they're willing to try doing it God's way for a few minutes. If they're really spiritual, maybe they'll do it a day. And then nothing happens. So that was a waste of time. God does not call for an every now and then obedience. God does not call for an obedience that is simply in a fire escape from trouble. He calls for sustained obedience. We have a problem today. We want immediate results. We want immediate evidence. And if there are not immediate results, if there is not visible evidence, people cease to do it God's way. And therefore you get up the next morning and guess what? Jericho is still there. It takes a sustained obedience. Now if these Israelites were anything like people today, and I'm sure they were, we see that they would march around the city, they would return to the camp, and then they would get up early in the morning and they would do the same thing and return to the camp, and this continued. If they were anything like people today, keep in mind that when they went around that city, they weren't allowed to speak. Not a sound was to come from their lips. More on that later. So when they got back to camp, I'm sure they were ready to talk. And some of them started to speak. Again, if they're anything like people today. Hey, Joe, you realize we marched all day today? You realize we've been marching for 2 days? 3 days? 4 days? Not one thing has happened. Not a single thing has happened just between you and I. I don't think Joshua knows what he's doing. Nothing's happening. We need some results. We need to try something different. If they're anything like people today, those are the kind of conversations that were going on in camp. But they got up for 7 days. And each day, after a day of marching, there was Jericho. And you know what? Those walls were just as tall as they were the day before. They were just as thick as they were the day before. None of the bricks were beginning to crumble. They were just as solid as they were the day before. But they got up each day with the intention, we're going to do what God says. We're going to do it God's way. And no matter what the day brought forth, they continued to do it God's way. They continued to do it God's way throughout the day. And they returned home having done it God's way. There's no better way to live than to get up with the intention, I'm going to do it God's way. Go through the day doing it God's way. Returning home and going to bed knowing I've done it God's way. And get up the next day and start all over again. And that's what they were doing for 7 days. Day after day. This also has its foundation in, see, I have. It has its foundation in faith. It is faith. It is believing in the promise of God. It is believing that God's way is the best way that enables us to sustain obedience. It's faith. So again, it comes back to the foundation. We need to learn this valuable lesson. You do not need, or you do not keep on doing it God's way because you see results. That's not why you keep doing it God's way. You keep doing it God's way because this is what God said, whether you see any results or not. If you're doing it God's way, based upon the results you see, guess what? You will not have sustained obedience. Because many times there are no outward results. And the truth is, in order to see results many times, you have to have a relationship with God. Fourthly, there was instruction concerning order and position. Notice that there was instruction concerning the men of war there in verse 3. All ye men of war. There was instruction concerning the 7 priests in verse 4. In verse 5, there is this instruction concerning all the people. The men of war, as you read on, were in front, followed by the 7 priests. And then there was the ark, followed by the people. We see this is laid out in verse 9. The men of war were to be in the were not to be in the place of the 7 priests, and the 7 priests were not to be in the place of the men of war, And the people were not to be in the place of the men of war or the seven priests. Each had a place. Each had a responsibility. The men of war were not to think, nor were they to say, "Why can't I hold the ark? Why do I have to be up front? Why does he always get to blow the trumpet? Why can't I blow the trumpet?" And the seven priests were not to be saying or thinking, "Why does he get to hold the weapon? Why can't I hold the weapon?" And the people in the rear were not to think or say, "Why do I have to be all the way back here? Why can't I be up front?" Each one was to be content in the place and the position that God put them in. God had an order. That's true in church capacity. That's true in our individual lives. And we're concentrating on our individual lives. We're not capable of bringing down a single Jericho. Not one. We're not capable. But we are capable of lining up according to God's order. And we need to do that every day. We need to get in line just as God has ordered. God had a specific order. We must always, if you want to see Jericho walls fall, we must always have respect and follow God's order. Again, that could branch out into a lot of different things. It could branch out in the church, it could branch out into home, but that's not my point. God does have a very specific, a very definite order for you and I individually. And here it is. I am first. God. That's God's order. It was important that everybody be in order. And you want to know why a lot of people live lives of defeat? Because God's not first. Because they've gone against the order of God. You want to know why many homes are in the mess they're in? Because God's order is disobeyed. Same in churches. This too has foundation. Observing God's order has its foundation back in verse 2. Faith. It's just simply believing. God's order is best. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to understand it. You just keep God's order. And Jerichos will come down. It's the neglect of God's order. That's why many Jerichos still stand. Because God isn't first. He isn't even second. He's not even on the list. In many cases. God's order must be followed. Fifthly, there is instruction concerning God's presence. In verses 3 and 4, we read of the ark. It is called the ark of the Lord. In verse 6 and verse 7, it is called the ark of the covenant of the Lord. In verse 8, this ark represented the presence of the Lord. Now notice, concerning this ark in verse 7. Let him that is armed pass on before, in front of the ark. And in verse 9, and the armed men went before the priest, who also were in front of the ark. Here's the lesson. Why were the armed men in front of the ark? To protect it. If you want to see Jericho's fall, you had better protect the presence of God in your life. I'm not talking about protecting God. I'm talking about protecting the presence of God in our lives. Because without the presence of God, you will not overcome Jericho. This too has its foundation back in verse 2. Several times in the Old Testament we read, the Lord was with, followed by a name. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with David. And then following that statement, the result is victory. We have to have the presence of God. That goes back to faith once again. Sixthly, there was instruction concerning a prohibition, something they were not to do. Notice in verse 10, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not. Ye shall not. That's a prohibition. Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. You do not, when you're marching around that city, you don't shout. You don't make a single noise with your voice. You don't go, oh, that's a noise. You'd be quiet. That's a noise. There was to be no noise, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. They were prohibited to speak, to make any noise as the long procession made its way around Jericho. You realize that that prohibition would be against our natural inclinations. Our natural inclination is to speak, especially if it's quiet. Somebody's got to say something. He's prohibiting a natural inclination. The order was very emphatic. And notice, perhaps most important of all, it was without explanation. God did not say, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, because. That's not what he said. No explanation was given. Now again, if there are anything like people today, someone's going to rise up when Joshua's giving this instruction and say, well, Joshua, what if I have something to say? And Joshua would say, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. And the next person would say, well, what if I have a good idea concerning something? Should I let someone know? And Joshua would say, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. Well, Joshua, what if the guy next to me says something? Ye shall not shout. No noise shall come out of your mouth. No word shall come out of your lips. Well, what if the guy next to me has asked me a question? That's what we do. God prohibits something, and the what ifs never stop. But you read verse 10, read it over and over and over. There's no explanation for the prohibition. Well, Joshua, you tell me why it's got to be that way. There is no explanation. God does not need to explain Himself to you and I. It was sufficient, or it was to be sufficient. I am to keep my mouth shut. There is nothing to come out of my mouth. Why? Because God said so. That's the only reason we need. Well, it don't make sense. Doesn't matter. Well, it's not reasonable. Doesn't matter. God does not need to explain Himself. Nor do parents have a need to explain every prohibition that they give their children. Because I said so. Observe the prohibitions of God simply because God said not to do something, therefore we're not to do it. To obey the prohibitions, yet disobey what God tells you to do, that's disobedience. To do what God tells you to do and then turn around and disobey the prohibition, that's disobedience. They had to do both. They had to do what God told them to do, and they had to observe the prohibition, ye shall not. And there's no explanation. This too. The belief that God does not have to explain Himself to me goes back to verse 2. See, I have. It is faith in God. God said not to do this. And because I believe God, that's enough. I need no explanation, or we should need no explanation. Seventhly and lastly, there was instruction concerning the timing of God. Again, notice verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until." Until the day I bid you shout. God is saying the day will come. The time will come. The hour will come. The second will come. When I'm going to tell you to shout. And then notice what it says. Then. Two very important words. Until. And then shall you shout. Put that in plain English. God was saying, keep your mouth shut till I tell you to open it, is what He was saying. You don't shout until I tell you to shout. We need to learn to observe the until. The untils of God. Then notice, again, they were not to. There was to be no noise until God gave further instruction. And then they were to act accordingly. Again, this too has its foundation back in verse 2. Why is it that people can't wait on God or won't wait on God? Lack of faith. Lack of faith. Believe it or not, God's timing is better than your timing. It takes faith to keep following God when there's no visible results. It takes faith to keep observing the prohibitions of God when they don't seem to be getting you anywhere. It takes faith to wait God's time. We don't need visible results. We do need to be listening for God to say, okay, now. We need to be in tune to God. So in closing, God gave the rules, and Israel experienced victory following God's instruction. Here's the lesson. There is victory in living God's way. There is victory in living God's way. Again, without seeing visible results, if we're doing it God's way, we're winning. Doesn't matter if the wall comes down. You do it God's way, you're winning. Well, it seems like I'm going backwards. It may seem that way at times, but if you're doing it God's way, you're winning. That's what success is. Success. Don't fall into the trap of the world's definition of success. Here is success. You do what God tells you to do, you're successful. And you fail to do what God tells you to do, I don't care how much worldly success you have failed. Success is doing it God's way. Well, here we are, we've marched around 6 days, now on the seventh day, here we've marched around this city 6 times, there's those walls, nothing has happened. But they're still winning. Not a brick has fallen yet, but they're winning. Not an inhabitant has fled, but they're winning. Why? Because they're doing it God's way. As long as we're doing it God's way, we're winning. And then, of course, they came around that seventh time. The trumpets blew. The people, God said, okay, shout! And they shouted with a great shout, verse 20, and the wall fell down flat. You say, well, that's success. They had success before that because they were doing it God's way. Don't ever lose sight of that. There's an important order. James chapter 4, very familiar verse, but there's a very important order here if we're going to live victorious lives. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit, resist, and he will flee, or you win. It is not resist the devil. You won't win that way. What gives you the strength? What gives you the strength to resist the devil? Submit. You submit to God and you'll have the strength to resist the devil. Oh, I just can't do it. I just don't have the strength. Submit. That gets back to verse 2 again. Faith. Why is it that people will not submit? Lack of faith. submit. Now you have the strength to resist. And the end result is this. He'll flee. Oh, he'll come back. He'll come back again. But if you go through the same order again, guess what will happen? He'll flee. And he'll come back again. And again, and again, and again. He'll build another wall. He'll build the wall taller. And what are you to do? Submit to God. Submit to God. You don't need any explanation why you should submit to God. Simply because God said to. Simply because He knows more than you do. Submit to God. This will solve almost all problems. Submit. Resist. And the result is victory. The reason that Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years is because they kept doing the things that kept them there. And the reason that God's people live lives of defeat is because they keep doing the things that keep them there. I mean, it's just common sense. If you're failing over and over and over and over again, you might want to try a different approach. You just keep getting the same results. Submit. And the reason people live lives of defeat is they do the things that bring defeat. Before Joshua 6, and we've preached on this before, Joshua chapter 5, the children of Israel are in Gilgal. And what took place in Gilgal really prepared them for Jericho. And you can mark it down. The way you live your life today will prepare you for the battle tomorrow. And you can live your life in such a way today that you assure defeat tomorrow. So you better be careful how you live. Submit to God. Again, the foundation is verse 2 of Joshua 6. Faith. And that is why we need to pray all the time, Lord, increase my faith. Because the more my faith is increased, the more I submit. And the more I submit, the stronger I am to resist. Again, people say all the time, oh, you don't know how hard I tried not to do what I did. I tried so hard. But you see, you've got it all wrong. You've got to have the strength to resist. And that strength comes from submitting to God. So if we want victory, if we want to live the victory, we need to follow God's instruction. It's very clear all through the scriptures. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.